Amen. I've been hitting a lot of scripture today. I think I'm only hitting two of them. Amen. And dealing once again with evangelism, I'm just really going to be expounding a lot today. Amen. And what our ministry, who we really are as a movement, you know, in this day and age that we live in. Amen. And that we're our anointing, our strength, our what God has given us, amen, is evangelism and making disciples and in the area of the rehab homes, in the area of the church, in the area of the core ministries of the church. It's going to take discipleship. But to make disciples, you first got to go get disciples. And that's why evangelism is very, very important. It's what brings disciples into position to be made disciples. Amen? So Matthew chapter 10, verse 16, if you don't have your Bible, it should be on the overhead projector. Amen. Speaking about making disciples, it's not easy. It's not easy. It's not just for anybody. Amen. You need to be called. You need to be equipped. And you need to be anointed in this that we do. And our ministry has been anointed to do such that, to be very strong, effective evangelizers. It's crucial that we learn how to evangelize for your marriage. Evangelizing will help. You know, how to speak to that opposite, your spouse, and how to speak to your children. Evangelizing is very, very, very important emphasis within the household. Amen. And that much more even within outside your house where everybody's running just wild, the lost and bound, like the offering said, that times are getting more evil and more wicked. Amen. So here, opening scripture says in the book of Matthew, I am sending you out. Here goes the call. Amen. I'm sending you out like sheep. We should leave like sheep. Amen. When we go to evangelize, when we speak to our spouse and our children. But it goes on to say, I'm sending you out like sheep among wolves. Among wolves. Therefore, be as shrewd as snakes and as innocent as doves. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We love you. Give you all the glory and all the honor. I ask that you put me to the side, Lord, and that you continue to give us more of who you are, Lord, of the great commission of your heartbeat, Lord. And that anointing, Lord, Father God, that favor that you have given our ministry, Lord, Father God, to be victorious in this area of evangelism, even with all the wolves that are out there, Lord. In the name of Jesus, bring understanding this day to your people. And we all say with great faith in one accord, amen. Here, I'm speaking this morning, not just from pulling the scripture out of the Bible, but it's something I've done now for 18 years. I have experience in this area, amen, on evangelism, whether it's one-to-one in a group setting, a big-scale group setting, and in the worst part of the hood in town, amen, experience. So when I read this portion of scripture and says, I am sending you out, that took place. So here, once again, I am sending you out, the book of, from Matthew's perspective. Once again, we see the great commission of the Lord sending out to make disciples. Amen? The great commission, when you look up the word commission, too many times we say the great commission, and we more or less know what it means, but the word commission simply means an instruction, command, or duty given to a person or a group of people. Amen? That's what it means. And the one that gave this commission is the Lord himself to each and every one of us. Right now, he's giving it to you all in a group setting. Amen? But when you're in your time of prayer or the preaching's taking place or at the altar call, the Lord will personalize it. He will give you command. He will give you a commission, an instruction on going out and helping the lost and the bound and saving souls for God's glory and honor. Amen. So the word commission, it simply means an instruction, command, or duty given to a person or a group of people. Amen. And within this commission I put here, within the great commission of the Lord, we go out as sheep among wolves. There's like a warning taking place right there. It's like, oh, wow, let's go evangelize today. There's a warning. There's a warning that we're being sent out as sheep among wolves. Among wolves. What do wolves love to eat? Sheep. Amen. I open up with my first point that says through the word of the Lord, you better believe that you are going to be persecuted in doing God's will. The wolves ain't just going to let you have your way and have victory on a 24/7 basis. There's wolves that we got to contend with. There's wolves that as we go out, there's going to be wolves. There's going to be wolves looking for sheep to counteract what God wants to do. There's going to be wolves. That's why a lot of us go through things a lot of times. Sometimes there's wolves in the church that simply don't understand what God wants from their life. There's sometimes sheep in the church, amen, that simply don't understand the Great Commission, simply don't understand God's plan for their life or for the church. And because they don't understand, they can speak things against the leadership, the pastoralship, because simply they do not know God's plan. So the attack can come within the church, but we know that for sure, through the account of Matthew, as we get sent out, we're being sent out as sheep among wolves. Amen. You better believe it. Beyond these walls, if times are getting more wicked, the wolves are on the rise right now. And if you want to go count 1, 2, 3, they outnumber us by far. But spiritually, the word of the Lord says that there's more of us than there is of them. Maybe not numerically, but in power. In power, in spirit, there's more of us than there is of them. And that's why we're still here 11 years later in the great city of Milwaukee. Not so much because of who the wolves are, but who the Lord is. And all we got to do is learn His word, follow His word, and we will be victorious as we're sent out, even if it is amongst wolves. But we need to have an instruction. There needs to be a commission. There needs to be an obedience to the commission, because it comes from the Lord. It's not coming from me. It comes from the Lord. It's been given to our ministry. And the proof that it works is that it's all over the world right now with the people like you and I that at one time were evil, that were wicked, that were the wolves. But the Lord is able to radically transform a wolf, amen, into a sheep. If you were just to let a sheep and a wolf fight right here, the wolf is going to win. Naturally, the wolf is going to win. The sheep don't have big old teeth and, you know, and they don't fight in packs. They're not known for that. The sheep need a shepherd. They need guidance to have victory, to continue to multiply. They need a shepherd. The wolf travel in packs. Amen. They have a strategy within the pack, within the wolf pack. Amen. They know how to team up, and the gang violence that's taking place is a strategy, and it's no longer one-on-one. It's 20 guys beating up one guy. It's a wolf pack mentality. And there's a wolf pack mentality out there right now when we go and evangelize. That's why we got to be prayed up before we go. That's why we got to be right with the Lord. There's wolves. They surround us. They're all over the place. You better believe that you're going to be persecuted in doing God's will. I put here, Jesus is fully aware of the persecution that lies ahead of us. Jesus is fully, if there was one that is fully aware that there's a persecution that awaits us in the area of evangelism, It was Jesus. He was evangelizing as a little boy. He was found in the synagogues. He was found doing this. And then when he came of age, he was there making disciples. Amen. He was evangelizing. He was evangelizing. Then he put some in position. Some would follow him. And then he would start to teach them. Amen. And make them into disciples. If anybody understands that there's persecution that awaits us in this area, in this realm of evangelism, it's Jesus. It's Jesus. You're not going to go evangelize and not get nicked or not get hit once. It's going to happen. Jesus is fully aware of the persecution that lies ahead of us. I put also here, but Jesus also is fully aware that the gospel, his word, is essential in reaching the lost and the bound in the midst of wolves to bring forth salvation. Jesus also is fully aware that if the lost and the bound are going to get saved, that it's essential that the gospel is the only area that's going to be able to save them. It's essential that the gospel gets to them, even if they're in the midst of wolves. Somebody has to take the word to them that is stronger than any wolf, any pack of wolves. So Jesus is able to see the persecution. He's able to see that it's his word going forth that's going to bring a liberty, a salvation to those that are his, that are in the midst of wolves. You know, my little Mocha, she's a little 12-pound little poodle. She wouldn't harm nobody. But when she's playing with her little bone, if you get closer, she's going to get you. Elias hasn't learned that one yet. I said, don't play with her when she has that bone in her mouth. Every single time, even if I go up to her, when she has that little bone, she wants to protect it. But take the bone away from her, she's the nice. She wants everybody to pet her. And Elias always comes running. Mocha bit me. Mocha bit me. I said, did she have her bone in her mouth before she bit you? And he says, yes. I said, I told you. Don't want to play with Mocha when she's got a bone in her mouth. And I say that in spirit here this morning, it's like the wolves that are out there, it's like the lost and the bound is that bone of theirs. And you get close and they're going to protect it. That's what wolves do. They want to protect them with an evilness, with a wickedness. And we got to be crazy, in love with Jesus, and know his word to be able to go and take the lost and bound from the jaws of the wolves. You got to know more than Caesar Milan, the dog whisperer. Wouldn't even be able to pull that one off knowing dogs. We need to be a God whisperer, a God people that knows what they're doing in the area of evangelism. You start knowing nothing but little by little in the ministry. Before you know, you can say, man, I know a lot about this area now. Jesus knows there's persecution out there. He knows that the lost and the bound are in the midst of the wolves. But he also knows that what his word is able to do when it reaches those that are lost and bound. He also knows what his power does, that wickedness and evil that needs to step back. When the Spirit of the Lord shows up in a man's life, in a woman's life, within a youth's life. And that's why we've been successful in all the rallies. We've never in 11 years here had one incident on the north side or in the south side where something really happens. Where a drug addict or a gang member or something really takes place. Not once has it taken place. And we're not going to the outskirts. We're going into the thicket in a beehive. But yet, when we're there and the rally's over, they stay hanging out because the presence of the Lord is there. And if you really start growing in the presence of the Lord, and you still, the Lord will show you that the areas we hit becomes a sanctuary. It's just like a big hedge of protection that no wolf, no evil spirit can even come against. The Lord has given us a plan that is able to go in the midst of wolves and save the lost and bound. But there's wolves still that need to be contended with. Speaking of the evangelistic message here this morning of who we are and what we do and the way we operate. Amen. We're going to keep taking it to another level and another level in the area of evangelism. And that is going to be the faucet. That's what's going to keep the new people coming in, the core ministries growing, and putting people in position to become disciples and to be taught how to save people in the midst of wolves. As I looked up this word shrewd, you know, I'm sure there's just very few that really knows what shrewd means. Amen. I come with the definition through the area of a snake. Amen. The Bible says, I am sending you out like sheep among wolves. Therefore, be as shrewd as snakes. So here we got to take on a mentality of a snake. And as innocent as doves, and a mentality of a dove, two total opposites. As shrewd as snakes. This word shrewd. This word shrewd means sharp. It means keen. To be shrewd. That's my dog there. Shouldn't be out right now. Shrewd means sharp. It means keen. So in other words, it's saying to be as sharp as a snake. To operate like a snake. Some of you say, man, I can do that. I feel like I got the niche for that one. When we look at the enemy, we know he was a snake in the garden, amen? A serpent. But how many know, even though he's defeated, getting some stuff right now, that the enemy's real shrewd. What does real shrewd mean? Real sharp. He's sharp. How many can say amen? He put a whooping on me for a long time. I couldn't figure out the whooping he was putting on me, going months without shiring, a drug addict, a heroin addict in prison. And I thought I had it going on. I could have just looked in the mirror and just figured it out, but I thought I had it going on. The enemy was shrewd. When he deceived me with a cigarette, a beer, and onto a smoking a joint, and onto cocaine and heroin, and all those things, he was real shrewd in the way he deceived me. So here in the account of Matthew, the Bible says, therefore, be as shrewd as snakes. Be as sharp as a snake. Be as sharp as a snake. So we're going to look into the life of a snake right now. Amen. Remember, the word shrewd means to be sharp, keen. It means a lot of other words that mean just that. Amen. I put here, and I've examined snakes. I'm from Texas, and I used to play with snakes not knowing if they were venomous or not venomous. And my parents didn't look after me, man. I was told my mom and dad, I was 4 or 5 running in the monte. I mean, in not the pretty country. I mean, in bad, I don't know how to say monte in English, but in the brush, man. It wasn't a beautiful country setting. It was in the brush. And they knew I was afraid of the dark. They knew I would be back before it got dark because I was really afraid of the dark, right? But we lived in the country, only had one neighbor, and for miles there was no houses there. And I remember with tarantulas, black widows, I would come back dragging big old snakes to the house, fish, toads, rabbits, anything and everything I could kill, I was bringing back with me. And some of them would come back home with me all wounded, and then I would become a doctor, and I would start putting sticks on their legs, trying to fix up the bird I beat to death, amen, had broken legs, and I would go in there, and I would put sticks, and I would tape them, and I would try to bring them back to life, just to go out the next morning seeing how many things I could kill. So I was able to examine snakes. If you go to the zoo, and you examine, most snakes will move real slow, and their tongue comes in and out, right? You don't have to be from the country. You go to the zoo, you go look at those snakes. They ain't in there playing like the monkeys. And, you know, they're just real. They move and they stop. And they're always looking. They're always, every little, it's like they're thinking the whole time. And the tongue comes out and it goes back. And then their head goes back. And then all of a sudden they do another move and they post up. And that little aquarium that they're in, they're like on a trip. It's like they're thinking something's going to get them all the time. They're shrewd. Snakes I put here maneuver quietly and caution, with caution and intelligence. They move real cautious and they're intelligent. They move with a planned strategy all the time. So you don't see snakes like you can see a dog with no strategy, a cat with a bird just flying around. But snakes, they'll move in the grass and they'll stop, check it out. The tongue comes out, goes back in, and they move again. Or they'll just stay in the same spot and just be like paralyzed. They'll camouflage themselves with their surroundings. They're shrewd. They're always planning every move they make. In defense and also on offense. Why on offense? Because they got to eat to survive. But the majority of time, they're just checking it out. And they move real slow. Even a 20, 25-foot python moves real slow because it's got to get close to its target. But when it's time to strike, that big old 20-foot python moves as fast as a rattlesnake, and it makes the grab. The snakes, they're shrewd. They maneuver with a planned strategy. They're quick in seeing danger and quick to escape from it. They're able to discern. They're real great discerners, the snakes. They're able to see something coming. They're able to plan and make a few moves and then just post up and not move at all. They're always looking for danger. And too many times it's like they're being hunted all the time. And too many times as men and women and youth in the church, we feel that we're not being hunted, and yet we are, because we're being sent out amongst the midst of wolves. And we're in a battle right now. And too many times we're saying, "Hey, how you doing, Joe? Hey, Susie, hey, how you doing? Oh, I'm doing great." And the wolves are just, the Bible says that the lions there just is seeking who he may devour, and he'll move a little and he'll stop. He's shrewd. As big as he is, he's patient. Here, snakes also are quick to see danger. Too many times we can't see danger all around us, and we walk right into the mouth of the wolf. Hey, brother, you should stop hanging out with that brother, man. It's not good. Hey, sister, you should stop hanging out and give a little rebuke. And you can't see it, and the shepherd is protecting you. Hey, stop doing that. That don't work right there. It's going to backfire on you. It's going to come back on you. And too many times we can't see the danger around us, the spiritual danger that is there. The Word of God says it. We're being sent out in the midst of wolves. Too many times we're wondering why we come up with a leg missing. We're on the battlefield right now for our souls right now is taking place. And we need to learn how to be shrewd, which means wise, intelligent. We need to be checking things out. You know why I check things out? Because I was so long in the world, man. I'd rather, in a place that I don't feel too good, I'd rather be by a wall so I know if anything's going to happen, it's going to come from here, not from behind. I still got that mentality. Now I always make a joke when I go eat in the restaurant, whoever I go with, I say, man, I want the wall. You know, the mafioso wants the wall. And most mob guys sit with their back to the wall. Anything's going to come. Ain't nobody can sneak up on you. They're shrewd. Amen. Wise. But too many times as Christians, we continue to live as the world when there's wolves all around us. And the wolf don't care if you're a 10-day sheep, 10 days old. It don't care if you're a 2-year-old sheep in the church. It don't care if you're a 20-year-old sheep in the church. The enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy. He don't care how much you know. It still tastes like sheep to him. But he definitely really, really likes when he gets a sheep that belongs to the church. It's got like a better taste. It's like caviar to the wolf, the spiritual wolf that we got to go amongst in order to save the lost and the bound. But too many times we just go out there anyway, hang out with any person, do it the way we want to do it, and in the midst of wolves. So snakes, the Bible tells us to be as shrewd as snakes, to have discernment of a snake. Even though the snakes I put here move real slow and usually are camouflaged, and because they only need so much to stay alive for a long time. They don't need much food. They can survive on one little mouse for months and months. Amen? But a snake also, to survive, has got to eat. So it'll be real slow, but if you ever seen when you go to Dog World or whatever they call it, where they got mice and everything, and they're feeding the snake, even with the snake knowing those mice, because the snake will be real paralyzed, and then the mouse comes, the little sheep person in the church, and the snake that looks paralyzed, just when it gets it, and that mouse is going down the belly of that snake. Though a snake is always being shrewd and checking out danger, escaping danger, when the time arises to strike, it strikes. And as we need to be as shrewd as a snake, as intelligent of a snake, when the time arises for us to save the lost and bound, we got to strike. And too many not striking in the church. And the time has arisen for the church to arise and strike against the wolves. Strike against the opposition of the enemy and come and strike. We need to rise. We need to go out. Even though we're in the midst of wolves, we need to know when we strike with the gospel. We strike with the gospel. Too many people in the church not striking, and the time arises for you to evangelize to that son, that daughter, that mother, that grandpa, that person that's next to you at work. Every day, you can see the Lord has shown you that they're troubled. You see it, you know it, but you don't want to strike with the gospel. We need to be shrewd. We need to be intelligent. We need to be wise. We need to escape when the time of danger comes. We need to be smooth. But when it's time to arise and strike, we need to strike. Too many people just come into church. A lot of talk, but no bite. In Spanish, they say, el perro que ladra no muerde. In English, that means the dog that barks a lot don't really bite. Snakes are quiet. They don't make no noise, baby. But when they strike that mouse or whatever they got their radar on, they're going to take it out. And a snake will always take it head first down. We can't just be on the defense all the time. We got the gospel. We got the sword, the word of God that is able to strike, that's sharper than any two-edged sword, any wolf that is out there, any wolf that's in the church. There's sometimes you got to shut down somebody from talking smack in the church. Some of you let people talk negative about me, my wife, the leadership, the pastoralship, people in the church. And sometimes you got to rise up and say, if you really don't know what you're talking about, enough's enough. Too many people speaking out of place, not knowing what they're talking about because they've been to church for a year. And you're ready to strike. Everything but the wolf. See, if you want to strike correctly, too many people striking, but without the gospel, you're striking out of place. You're not using the gospel to strike. Lord gives us his word. Well, he gave me some fists also, Pastor. Yes, he has. Those are called hands. They're not fists or hands to open up his word. Oh, he gave me some feet, Pastor. Dar unas buenas patadas. No, those feet are to carry the gospel. To fight the good fight. Too many still think in the church a good fight is with these. Because you know how to do it, but do you know how to fight with the Word of God? When the time arises to strike, to save somebody's life. And even as shrewd as a snake is, when it comes time to arise, it knows how to strike. Snakes also withdraw quickly when danger threatens. We need to use wisdom when danger threatens. And sometimes, even though we know we got that strike and we got that bite and we got that blow and we're victorious and we're frontliners, sometimes you got to step back. We can't fight every fight. We're not supposed to fight. There's too many people fighting fights that you ain't supposed to be fighting. We got to be shrewd as a snake. A snake knows when it's outnumbered or outdone or outmaneuvered, and it'll just back up and then just stay there. Too many times we want to strike on every occasion. That was me, man, for years. I didn't want to let one occasion go by. And I would strike whether it was time or not. I would strike. I said, I'd rather be known as a striker than a non-striker. Teach me, Lord, how to not strike when I'm not supposed to strike. But I'd rather be striking than not have no bite in the church of God. And I'd rather go through the process and have the Lord correct me, because I'm striking instead of not striking. In dealing with rattlesnakes, as I was reading, I know this for just from growing up in the country. You know, you would think, what's more deadlier, a little baby rattlesnake or a big old 10-foot rattlesnake? And the answer is the little one's more dangerous. Why? When a little rattlesnake bites its prey, or when it's in danger and it's just reacting, it'll strike, and it'll, all the venom it's got, it'll just keep pouring the venom. The whole bite, it'll keep pouring the venom, and that's why they'll take you out quick. A mature snake that knows how much venom it takes to kill a mouse or a bigger animal will strike, and it'll put venom, and then it'll stop the venom. It'll save some venom. But the little ones, boy, they strike and they'll give you everything they got. It's going to go into that bite. And too many times we have immaturity taking place in the church, and we're just biting and we're letting all the venom go. Ain't no stop. As I was reading about the shrewd, it just all the stuff that came from looking up the word shrewd. I said, man, I'll be honest with you, man. I'm educated, but I ain't highly educated. And I kind of knew what it meant, but I really want. And when I looked it up, I was really able to see why we need to become as shrewd as snakes. Pastors called me a snake. Well, there's two types of snakes. You better be the shrewd one. The adult rattlesnake knows how to minister. When it strikes, it knows how much venom it takes, and then it can stop the venom. The young one just keeps going and going and going. That's what those will kill you 10 times quicker than an adult rattlesnake would. We need to learn how to strike, and we need to learn. See, our venom against the wolf is the Word of God. You need to know how to strike with the Word of God. Sometimes we give too much Word of God. We give the individual that we're trying to save too much Word. Instead of just saying Jesus loves you and then pulling back. If it's a person at the workplace, you go, you're going to see them every day, just a little seed. I mean, they're not even knowing they're being fed the gospel. Very little seed, right? Very little seed. Before you know it, they'll have a belly full of seed of the word of the Lord. Before you know it, you'll be leading them to the Lord, befriending them. But too many times we want to strike and we want to give them 20 scriptures that we memorized to show them how much we know. And we come on too strong and we force Jesus down their mouth. We need to be as shrewd as a snake. We need to be intelligent evangelizers. God has anointed us to grow in this field. He has anointed us to reach anybody. Doctors, I don't care if it's a doctor before me. I don't care if it's a prostitute. I know God has anointed me to be able to speak and connect with them. But I've learned this from the Lord. The last thing I could do when I got saved was connect. I did everything but right. But I kept on praying. And I kept on reading the word that I did not understand. And year after year after year, slowly the wisdom of the intelligence and the understanding of the word of God started to be injected and implanted in my heart. And before you know it, I started bearing fruit. I didn't know what was taking place, but it was the word of God that had been implanted in me. Now it was starting to bear fruit. It was so evident that mom and dad knew it. It was so evident that every last seven of my brothers and sisters, everybody knew it, that I was no longer the same man. Because I had been injected with the word of God in my life that had saved me through and through. Something I didn't understand. I stayed with it and I stayed with it and I stayed with it. And that's why I'm able to preach about snakes and still call it the gospel here this Sunday morning. I put here evangelism. Presenting God's word should always continue to mature. Evangelism. Presenting God's word should always continue to mature. When I got to Milwaukee and I was preaching, I used the word punk about 50 times every message. I used chavala about 50 times every message. I would say, just get out of here if you don't want to be here. I don't care. And I would say anything that would come to me that sounded mean and tough, like I was one with God. Our presentation of God's word should always continually be maturing. Our delivery is very important. And God knows where you're at right now. If you have no delivery, I had no delivery. God is able to develop you to continue to deliver in and out of season, to deliver precisely whoever you may be speaking to or the group you may be speaking to, instead of just giving a word. It's called a word in season. Let me see if you guys got the answer to a question. How do we develop or mature our delivery of the gospel that is able to bring salvation to the lost and the bound? So we got the answer. Are we applying the answer? We have the answer. It came out real sharp and clear right there. Are we applying it? Evangelism is the word of God with application. Amen? There's many people that know the word of God that can memorize chapters that are in prison right now. I've witnessed it. I mean, they read chapter after chapter. I know one person that used to be in our church that could quote chapters, and he would impress me. Now you know it's a he, right? He would impress me, and I would be reading the Bible. Man, this guy is bad. Just got out of prison. There was no application. There was no application. As powerful as this word is without application, it's just ink on paper. It's relationship. If we want our evangelistic skills to grow, we need to spend time with the Lord. You need to know what to strike with. And what brings salvation, amen, is the word of the Lord. It's what sets the captive free. I love you and I love you. Hey, bro. Hey, homeboy. I love you, man. Come to church. That stuff's good. It's good. But somehow or another, we're going to have to go beyond that. We're going to have to grow beyond that. We're going to have to really get to a place where we spend some little time with the Lord, and it grows to a lot of time with the Lord in the word and in prayer. And you will start to learn how to strike, when not to strike, and always continually be growing, getting better and better. What they said about you last month, they're not saying about you this month, because you corrected that area. See, the word of the Lord in prayer will always correct our personal walk with the Lord. Without that personal correction, we cannot grow correctly. And the wolf will have his way in the midst of our evangelism. Relationship, prayer and word, hands-on experience. I put here rallies, the street team that's jumping off now. This is the application of knowing, going beyond knowing prayer and words, the answer. When we put it on into a hands-on experience, you're able to see what God wants to do. You're able to see the effects of the word of the Lord as it goes forth when you strike. I quoted this last Sunday. Remember, evangelism is for everybody. Amen. Evangelism, I put here, is not a gift. It's a commission of the Lord. It's a command. It's a mandate. Amen. You don't have to be good at it. I'm going to give you a good area here. You don't have to be good at it. You could really be extra bad at it. And God has anointed us to evangelize, to make disciples. Amen. I put here, it's an area that many are weak at, but can be developed. It's an area that can be developed with application. Sometimes we can be doing good in the church, and then we just stop doing what was working, what was developing and maturing your life to be a more effective speaker, to know how to strike with the word of the Lord, to know the scripture they need, amen, to know the circumstance they're in. You become more shrewd, and you know they're speaking, and you want to say something, you say, no, I'm just going to let them talk. See, I always got something to say. And I just keep talking. My wife says, you talk too much. I said, you know what? You're right. I talk too much. And I always justify by saying, I'm the pastor. That's why I talk too much. Throat lozenges all the time. I lose my voice every day. Yesterday, I counted my phone calls. 80 to 100 phone calls came in that I answer, amen. And I keep going forward, and I keep going forward because I know I was a big mouth for the devil and the pack of wolves that I was running with. I'm going to be a big mouth in Jesus, amen. And I'm going to go in the midst of the wolves with the word of the Lord because I have something to say all the time, something that is fresh, something that is new because I've been spending time with Jesus. Talk too much. Praise the Lord. I'd rather be known reaching the gates of heaven that I talk too much rather than I didn't talk enough. I'm an extremist. It's just all out or nothing. It's an area that many are weak at, that many are just insecure in. And speaking Jesus. It's not about a drug. It's not about a playboy, playgirl that you're talking about, and you got to do it in secrecy. It's speaking about Jesus. Speaking about Jesus. Yet in the world, we did everything beyond faith matters. Amen. To be that wolf, that big, bad wolf. We had no problem in starting off as just a cigarette smoker, escalated to a pothead, to a full-blown drug addict in the prison system, killing people. We had no problem in increasing in wickedness, as the offering said, that the love of many will grow cold at the end because of the increase of wickedness. Question, what are you doing to develop your evangelism skill? What are you doing? I'm telling you, it's one that can be developed. It's one that is for everybody. What are you currently doing to become a shrewd snake? What are you doing that's bringing more intelligence, understanding when you're dealing with the lost and the bound? Some are your very sons and daughters, your own mom and dad and grandpa. What are you doing to bring a development, an increase of maturity to be able to strike and capitalize and bring salvation to that love member that you love with all your heart? What are you doing? What are you doing to sharpen your evangelistic skills? What are you doing? Because it's for everybody. And too many times we can get caught up in the busyness of the day and forget our purpose, forget our calling, and why we were saved. It can be developed. Speaking to people, hugging them, loving them, Man, I get moved by the Spirit enough. You can giggle, you can laugh if you want. But there's a lot of men here that I've kissed on the cheek. In the back in the days, that's how they would greet one another. In Texas, that's the way we greet one another in the country. Love. Going beyond the natural. How can I say that it can be developed? Because when it came to evangelism, at the rally, some of you that have been with me a while already know. But man, when I got saved, man, I knew the power of God came on me at those altars. I knew I wasn't the same person, but my mentality was still the same. This hadn't changed yet. This hadn't changed yet. God's power through the word that was being preached, amen, in the midst of wolves came and rocked my boat where I was stuck at the altar. I couldn't get up, and I didn't. But I knew it was God. And then what would follow? Rally. What's a rally? Rally at the park. At the park, those people that are out there that were still partying that knew me. And then I would see Victory Outreach members, our church members, would go behind them. I want to let you know that one time I was a drug addict. I want to let you know that Jesus can change you now. I'm there, what the heck is that? That's a mind blower being raised in the Catholic Church. It's crazy. And week after week, we would go to rallies. I would be at every one of them. The director would challenge me to get behind me. I said, you crazy, man. I don't do that stuff. You gone crazy. I don't care what you do. You ain't getting me behind that mic. Shh. I don't need Jesus that bad. Yeah, he does. I ain't doing that. Tenía miedo. I was scared. And months would go by. And everybody knew I had a calling on my life. And they were trying to get me behind the mic to testify. I said, no, I ain't doing it. I said, what? What are you going to do about it? You going to do something about it? I just was not going to do it. I was scared. Even though I knew God had touched my life and had done something within my life, I was not going to get behind a mic and say how much of a loser I was. It just wasn't happening. I was not going to do that. Months and months and months would pass by. And one day, I didn't know Pastor Herb. He wasn't my close friend or my dad at that time. I was just going to church, man, trying to get right. And he looked at me like that, and he went. I thought, oh, my God, Pastor now is telling me to do it. And something happened. Oh, my God. And I would just go, can't do it. Ain't doing it. He would look at me again. He would go like that. And something happened. I didn't know the man of God yet or nothing. But when it came from him, the command came from him. He had seen months and months from the shepherd a distance, me saying no to the whole flock of his. And that second time he gave me that nod and he went like that. I don't know why, man. It was just like I was being beaten in the hood or something. I don't know, man. I got brainwashed, whatever. I went and got the mic and shaking like a snake, man. Not a shrewd snake either, man. I was scared. And I started to testify, and I gave up that mic in 5 seconds, and don't ever ask me. I almost peed in my pants. I said, don't ever ask me to do that again. I shared for about 10 seconds. I came out drenched. I was soaked. I was wet. I was in such fear by the enemy. And yet I feared nothing that the world had to throw my way. Months again would go, and I wouldn't touch that mic. And then my pastor would look at me and say, and I'll go up there, and that second time I grabbed that mic, something happened, and I took off with that mic in my hand. That was like 17 years ago. They can't take the mic out of my hand no more. Something happened. It was the calling of God. Everyone could see it but myself. Fear was stopping me and preventing me to say I couldn't do what they were doing. Amen. That's not me. Use the next brother. That's not me. Something happened. You see, the enemy knew who I was. I had his word at that time. I would jump off buildings. I would get out of cop cars. I would run out cop bullets. I would do it all. The enemy knew if I was to take in the word of the Lord that I would do anything for the Lord. He knew it. I would for years go behind the pulpit shaking and shake it, and I would have notes on my hand just to open up the service. I was so scared, and I was speaking in tongues for hours when they said I had to open up. I said, oh my God, I got to open up. So I would always pray the most at the altar, and that's why they would want to use me. But little did I know that that praying was setting me up to open up the service. And I would go and I would sweat and out all the, okay, tell them to stand. Okay, y'all may have your seats. Let's close in a word of prayer. I had it all written down in my hand. I was so scared. Do you know I just got a breakthrough about 2 years ago, and it happened in Chicago in Pastor Nick's place, where I would get, my tongue would stick to the top of my mouth. Even though I had a message and I know I heard from God, I couldn't speak. And the enemy was doing everything for that son, that tongue of mine not to cut loose for Jesus. It's taken many years, but I have the confidence if I'm put in front of great, great men of God, that my tongue's going to work, amen? It's not going to get stuck to the roof of my mouth. Even if I drink a gallon of water, it's going to work now. I'm confident of that. It had to be developed all these years. Where was where it really got developed? At the rallies, man. That's where I really got developed. Because we did a lot of that. Sunday morning service just once a week. And then I became the director of the men's home. It was history after that. I was doing it 3 times a day. Preaching at the top of my lungs. No longer could I be stopped. I was now a mouthpiece of the Lord. But the devil did anything and everything to stop me from speaking God's word. Because he knew that if I was to receive God's word, the word that defeated him at the cross, that he would never have me again. He was going to have to give up the bone called Charlie. And closing the book of Matthew. You can develop this area within your life. It's just not getting enough confidence to go behind the mic. You need to read God's word. And you can do that in privacy. It's not like all the whole church is going to watch you go read and pray at your house. You can develop these skills privately to bring them out to the open. You can develop these areas in your life to be a strong evangelizer in your privacy of your home in a room. Matthew 4, verse 18. Jesus evangelizing. Jesus evangelizing to make disciples. Very familiar portion of scripture, 18 through 20 says, as Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, called Peter, and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Verse 19 says, my Bible in red says, come follow me, Jesus said, and I will make you fishers of men. At once they left their nets and followed him. Jesus was going to make Andrew, Peter, he was going to make them from fishermen of fish to fishermen of men. It was something that he was going to have to develop within their lives. And just as being young kids, when Peter and them were young, and they would have to learn also the skills to be fishermen, you know, in the sea and the lakes that they would fish in. It takes skill to be a fisherman. There's fishermen, if you go on TV, that are professional anglers, I think they're called anglers, right? They fish all over the world for big money. Fishing. Because they're shrewd. They know the business. They know every little lure, pound test, pole, types of water, depth of water, when they're flowing, when they're biting. They know all the, and then they got a tackle box for any and every type of fish. See, the different fish, a different lure for different fish. Live bait, artificial bait. Big pound test for big, big fish. Small pound test for little fish. And Jesus told them, come follow me, Jesus says, and I will make you fishers of men. He was going to teach them through evangelism, through hands-on experiences, amen, how to save the lost and the bound. And Peter would buck and kick and buck and kick and buck and kick. But at the end, when Peter got it right, we know the story in the book of Acts. He would, after being that fisherman of men, he would preach a halfway message. In the midst of it, get arrested. And the Bible said that thousands were added onto the church. Why? Through the ups and downs, Jesus, through evangelizing, through discipleship making, had made him a fisherman of men. Question I put here in closing. How big is your fishing tackle box in winning souls? A fishing tackle box is, there's little ones, medium size, and then there's big ones with all kinds of shells when you open them. To put all kinds of different lures, weights, bobbers, string line, all the stuff that goes in there. How big is your tackle box to win over the lost and the bound? What type of skill do you have? What type of equipping do you have? We need to develop ourselves in this area through the help of the Holy Spirit, through prayer and to word, to know how to go out in the midst of wolves to save the lost and the bound. We need to learn to be as shrewd as snakes. I didn't go to the dove area. Amen. That's the humble one, being humble when the wolves are talking smack, when church people are talking smack. I didn't have enough time to go into the dove. Sometimes we can get so busy that we can get used to watching our family going straight to hell. We can get so busy when our own children are going straight to hell. This is the complete fishing tackle box for men, women, and youth. It can catch any type, any color, how far gone they are. This one's able to save any walk of life. We're in this to win it. Amen. We're in this to win it. And we've been sowing and sowing and sowing and working hard and working hard and working hard and working hard. These buildings didn't come by playing patty cake with the wolves. These buildings didn't come through good luck. These buildings didn't come from no work. 51 years old, I about killed myself with a men's home just 2 days ago, unloading thousands of sheets of 3/4 plywood, the heavy stuff. Takes work, jumping back to the school, jumping back to my family, jumping over here, all over the place. Just like I used to be with the devil, all over the place. Nothing could stop me. And through our vision is that we send out people. That's why there's a speaker coming from South Cape Town, Africa, to speak here tonight, because we send out people. That's why I'm here, because Pastor Herb sent me and my wife and family out here in the midst of wolves. Man, does he care about me? Or is it the gospel? I know my pastor loves me. But he also knew I had enough equipping to mature and to grow by hands-on experience. There's some things he always said you cannot learn until you get there. And through all the hard work, we have a Pastor Ray now in the church and his wife Teresa. We have Pastor Jamie and his wife Tammy. They got a little baby there with them. Two pastors have been developed, and there's another four real high prospects right now in the church being developed right now that I know without a shadow of a doubt. And I got a call last night from Pastor Nick Walker, which is not only a regional now, but a multi-regional. You know, he oversees, I think, 22 churches now. And it's very close to Pastor Sonny. They talk on the phone. Like I talk to any one of you guys, he talks with Pastor Sonny. And so I had a talk with him yesterday about Pastor Ray Arredondo, right? And he started giving me thoughts and instructions and commission, giving me a commission that I thought I was going to do in the next 6 months, And he says, do it now. So I'm going to have Pastor Ray and his wife, Teresa, come forward here this beautiful Sunday afternoon. I could barely talk this morning. I knew the time would come